LGB. 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 They say
LGB everywhere
I go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me.
Please.
Please.
Alrighty then.
LGB.
That let's go, Brandon.
Right?
LGB.
This means let's go, Brandon.
No. LGB.
Sounds like let's go,
Brandon.
I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's go, Brandon. Oh.
Hey.
I am Cornholio.
Chant.
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
Go, you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing,
get back.
LGB.
And you claim black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
FJB.
Let's go,
Brandon.
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-porking American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are you?
Good evening. Great to be here as always. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit disheveled here. All of a sudden, my mic went out and headset went out. With a minute and 30 seconds to go, but you had to improvise. So, Mamma Mia, we improvised. So, hopefully, so thank God for alternates, right? how are you?
Hey, doing good. FSU won, Miami won, some big. Big upsets in college football. It was a great Saturday for if you watch the college football. It was great.
Yeah, it really was. And I tell you, I on Hank's show, I picked an upset, Michigan State over Ohio State. But geez, Ohio State actually rolled. I mean, they looked like Ohio State. that they've been talking about all year and haven't played up to that capability or expectation, and they absolutely trounced Michigan State. Surprising.
Nah, I don't know. Not so much.
Yeah, well, considering that Michigan State was 9-1, so, I mean.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what,
but
we're not as
good as
it was a blowout. It was.
Yeah.
Oh, Georgia, yeah, they handled it pretty well. Hey, so Taylor Gooch got his first win on the PGA Tour win. He captured the RSM Classic with a three-shot victory over Canadian Mackenzie Hughes. Gooch was throwing darts in the back nine yesterday, and he stretched out his lead to four strokes. And second-place finisher Mackenzie Hughes kind of closed the gap to three strokes. Former PGA Tour player Mark McCumber, his son Tyler McCumber has been playing on the PGA Tour, and Tyler shot a beautiful round of 60 yesterday, 60-0. I mean, it was beautiful, and the guy ended up, oh my goodness gracious, he ended up, I think, in tied for fifth, but he shot a nice, beautiful 60, so it was good to keep going, and 60, yep.
Man,
and
I do that on the front nine.
Yeah, he was really playing well. I think it's his lowest round on tour, obviously. Gooch gets a great tour victory. He's been knocking on the door these past few months, and yesterday he walked right in. He shot a final round 64 to win his first PGA Tour tournament, and so congratulations to Taylor Gooch for winning the RSM Classic and gets him some exemption status that he deserves. He's been playing really great, and he's going to be another fine young American player. I'm not sure about the dominant part of it, but looks like Colin Morikawa is going to have that title. First American to win the European Money of Order in Dubai Classic. He came from like three shots back and trounced Rory McIlroy, who shot a 4-over-72 and 4-over-74, I should say. And Morikawa, I think, shot a 63. If I'm not mistaken, or 65, just absolutely stole the tournament and then got his
good
got the Order of Merit. Yeah, 23 years old. This kid's going to be a superstar. And, you know, we never talk about the ladies' tournaments, but we have to talk about ladies' professional golf, and I'm sorry out there, we'll make it really quick. But after Saturday's round, the CME Group Tour Championship in Naples, Florida, the leaderboard was bunched up at 14 under par, including Nelly Korda, Jin Young Ko, world's number one and two, and then Pans Nasa Hataoka, and Frances Celine Boutier. Celine Boutier has been playing great, but on Sunday, the final round, Jin Young Ko from South Korea took over the tournament, shot a 9-under-63 to win by one shot over Japan's Nasa Hataoka. And Nelly Korda finished in a tie for fifth place, six shots back. But what a final round by Jin Young Ko. And if you follow ladies golf, her swing is incredible. And this lady is on fire. She is definitely one of the best ladies professional golfers today. And she's as good as Nelly Korda, if not better. Nelly's only 23 years old, and it's hard to believe with how mature she is and how mature she plays. But this, I'm so impressed with Jin Young Ko. What a great golf swing, and she just absolutely lit it up yesterday. And the course is not it's not an easy course, a lot of water and stuff, but she did really, really well.
She's a solid player, been solid now for weeks on end, so she's always placing in the top 10, and not easy to do.
No, you know, and really the most impressive thing with her was, in 2020, I believe, she entered six tournaments. She won the ladies' money title, won four of six tournaments she entered, finished first in the won the Player of the Year. And, you know, I mean, think about it. Six tournaments, and she won four of them. I mean, that's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you like golf, put the women's, the LPGA, on your radar screen, because these girls are good.
They really are. And mm-hmm. It was the last tournament of the year, and I don't know, it's going to be close for for the women's player of the year if Nellie Korter gets it from America, who also is a gold medalist from the Olympic gold, won the Olympic gold medal, or Jin Young Ko. So it's going to be really close. It's world's number one and number two ranked. So just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's got a great blog spot. If you want a flavor of national and international news, you certainly can get it at his blog spot. Really good articles from all over, not just, you know, your standard The Federalist or Washington Examiner, but you can get the Red Voice Media, Canada Free Press, Telesur, About Hungary, Remix, Greek City Times, Pakistan Today. I think Barack Hussein's Sator Obama endorses that one. You know, New York Post, Daily Caller. So, I mean, Bigfoot does a great job in putting a blog spot together. So it's bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Hello to Ducky Northwest, Paul Sutliff, the host of our Thursday show on Global Patriot Radio, the Sutliffian Report, and the author of a new book called The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase at Amazon.com. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, 3 p.m. Pacific time on, 3 p.m. Pacific time on Blog Talk Radio Tuesdays. And the Alaskan Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd. And Sue from New Mexico on the switchboard, nice to see you, Sue. And say hello to everybody else out there that's on the podcast. So it's been a pretty busy weekend. And we'll get to, of course, the story of the hour and the day that started the weekend was the Kyle Rittenhour verdict. But there's some other news out there. First of all, we'll get to it real quick. Did you happen to catch Lieutenant Governor-elect Winsome Sears on CNN State of the Disunion? I mean, State of the Union with Dana Bash?
No, I missed that. Do tell.
Well, I got to tell you, this lady, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, is incredible. She is, you know, they try to get her, they try to gotcha, and they just can't do it. And she actually, you know, she makes sense when she speaks, and it drives them absolutely crazy. And so they're trying to get her to, Lieutenant Governor Dana Bash is trying to get her to, you know, tell if she's vaccinated. And she doesn't bite. And here's a clip of how Lieutenant Governor Sears responds to Dana Bash. And it's kind of funny. And I got to give her credit because she, you know, the Lieutenant Governor, she's got it, man. She really does. Here she is.
We can live where we want. We can eat where we want. We own the water fountains. We have had a black president elected not once but twice, and here I am, living proof.
Welcome back to State of the Union. That was Lieutenant Governor-elect Republican Winsome Sears celebrating her history-making victory in Virginia earlier this month. She's breaking barriers as the first woman ever, not to mention the first woman of color to serve in that role. And that's just the latest for the conservative Republican and former Marine who has a lifetime of firsts. Lieutenant Governor-elect Winsome Sears joins me now. Thank you so much for joining me. Congratulations on your victory. So, as I've said, you are now the first woman of color to be elected statewide in Virginia. You said that you didn't run to make history, but you did. So what does it mean to you?
Well, it means that when children look at me, they can say, well, Winsome is there. If she can do it, I can do it. Because as I've said to them in their little enclaves, you know, when they get together or in their celebrations or when they're graduating, I've said, you know, I didn't do anything special. All I did was stay in school and study, and you can do it too. Because I am an example of what you can be if you put your mind to it.
I want to talk about some issues that you will be dealing with in Virginia. President Biden signed his bipartisan infrastructure bill. He signed it into law this week. Virginia alone will receive more than $10 billion towards improving your roads, your bridges, airports, water systems. So is that good for Virginians?
Well, it depends on what else comes with it. You know, we have to look at the whole bill. And my God, did you see the bill was this big? Who has read that whole massive thing? Do we know what's really in it? And do we have to pass it before we can know what's in it? I think that's true. I look at some of the other parts of the bill. For example, when you talk about broadband. Now, broadband is very important to me because our Southwest in Virginia has been suffering from not having that. In fact, 20 years ago, when I was first elected for the House of Delegates, we were crying for broadband for the Southwest. 20 years, I'm back later, still crying, and I've got the feeling it's because nobody really cares. But as Lieutenant Governor, I sit on something called the Center for Rural Advancement. So it's very important to me that we get broadband there. So coming back to that bill, we know now that there's money in there for rural advancement. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. Only if you have an immigrant population that is absolutely growing and at a certain point. So once again, our folks in the Southwest are going to be left out because we don't have that there. And so that's what I'm saying. You know, we're using the budget, the money, to try to make things happen that are not happening, and it's not right. It's not right. So we want to know what are in these bills before they're passed, not afterwards. We want to know what are our representatives signing on to, and that's going to be one of my bills when I'm sworn in.
So this one is now law, of course. 13 House Republicans voted yes.
It is.
Were they right?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be left up ultimately to the voters to decide that, and they'll figure it out sooner or later.
Let's talk about some of your priorities as Lieutenant Governor. You said in your victory speech that you want to fully fund historically black colleges and universities in Virginia. Do you feel confident that Republicans who will control the executive branch and the House of Delegates in Virginia will get that done? And if so, how quickly?
Absolutely. You know, we have the Democrats who control currently our House, our Senate, Lieutenant Governor, Governor and Attorney General. That's the whole shebang that they control. And when that money came down from the feds, that there was money there to fully fund historically black colleges and universities, and they did not. In fact, a Republican brought that bill up, I think it was Delegate Glenn Davis, and they said no. They didn't have time. They didn't have the money for it when the money was fully there. But then we hear that Democrats love historically black colleges and universities more than anybody else. Well, I don't know what kind of love that is because it doesn't show up. So we're going to do that. In fact, Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin has promised that he is going to make that happen. He'll have a Republican House to do that. I'm sure the Senate will see the tea leaves and read them, and they'll go along with it. If not, I'll be the vote, hopefully, that will break the tie, that will pass it, and Governor Glenn Youngkin will sign it.
Let's talk about education more broadly. You oppose critical race theory being taught in schools, which I should say is not part of Virginia's curriculum. You did say, though, that the good and the bad of American history should be taught, and that we should also tell viewers you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it, so it's weaved in. So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in. What we want to say and what Governor-elect Youngkin has said is that all of history must be taught, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because what we learn from history, Dana, is that we don't learn from history and we continue to repeat the same mistakes. But while we're talking about history, how about we talk about how people from the 1890s, black people from the 1890s to about 1950, 1960, according to the U.S. Census, had been marrying in a percentage that had far surpassed anything that whites had ever done. When we talk about the Tulsa race riots, let's ask ourselves, How did the black people amass so much wealth right after the Civil War so that it could even be destroyed? How did they do that? You know, they were coming from nothing, from zero. Some of them never even got the 40 acres and a mule. Let's try to emulate that. The one thing that the slaves wanted, well, three top things, their freedom certainly. Then the next thing was they wanted to find their families. And the third thing was they wanted an education. And my God, when did education become a bad word among black people? No. We are going to have a good education system. It's going to represent all people, and I'm going to help see that through, because education lifted my father out of poverty when he came to America with only $1.75. Education lifted me because I have to find my own way in this world, and education will lift all of us.
I want to talk about keeping on schools, but about vaccines in schools. Virginia public schools are required, children are required there to get vaccinated for a lot of things, including polio and measles and chicken pox. So why is it okay to mandate childhood vaccines in Virginia for so many diseases, but not COVID?
Well, let's ask ourselves, and I'm not saying yay or nay, let's ask ourselves, if the purpose of the COVID vaccine is to prevent us from getting COVID, then why is it that those who have had COVID must get the vaccine? The one doesn't follow the other. And so, you know, there are people who, when they get COVID, they also get the monoclonal antibody therapy, and it's working. It's working very well in Florida, if you notice what's happening there. And so one size doesn't fit all. Now, I have said, get the vaccine. And then if you're not going to get the vaccine, then, you know, do what's necessary to keep yourself safe, keep other people safe. But let me ask you this question. If you have the mask on, then why does somebody else have to wear the mask? You've got the mask. You've got the vaccine. My God, you're fully protected. You're armored. I think ultimately we have to remember that we're America. We love our freedom. We love our liberty. People are dying to get into this country so that they can do well for themselves and their families. Let's not make it like some other countries. Let's let liberty shine.
So just a couple of things that you said there. You said that people who have had COVID have the antibodies. That is true, but scientists don't think that lasts forever, and eventually they wane, just like the antibodies you get from your vaccine wanes, which is why people are getting boosters. But my question from the beginning was about the fact you talk about liberty, but there are already mandates for vaccines for a host of other diseases. So is COVID just becoming too political, especially as you even said, you want people to get vaccinated?
I'm not going to force anybody to do that. Now, you talk about it's become politicized, this COVID-19 vaccine, and it has. In fact, our president, President Biden, and Vice President Harris themselves both said they would not trust any vaccine that was developed by the Trump administration. That was before their election. After their election, they were singing a different song. And now everybody has to be vaccinated. In fact, President Biden, when he was candidate Biden, said that he would not force vaccines on us, and here we are. I mean, what are we really believing? Then we say we're going to go along with whatever the health and the sciences say. Well, then his very own FDA, 16-2, voted against booster shots. Then what happens? He comes out, his CDC director says they're going to have booster shots. Which signs are we following? Then we hear that at the border, people are coming in, COVID, no mask, no anything, and they're being let into the general population. But then the rest of us who are here have to mask up. What is the science? Can somebody tell us what to finally believe?
Yeah.
This is the problem. It is all politicized.
Yeah, well, in fairness, the science, it's a novel virus, and the science is changing, and scientists are learning about it. I just have to say that he said that the candidate Biden said that he wouldn't trust the Trump vaccine. What they said was that they would only trust it if the scientists determined it, not the politicians. But just before I let you go on this topic, during the campaign, you were, as I said, you're encouraging people to get vaccinated, but you're not saying whether you are vaccinated. Do you want to say now?
As I said, America, if it's nothing else, it's about liberty. It's about being able to live your life free from the government telling you what to do. And so we understand this thing about slippery slopes. The minute that I start telling you about my vaccine status, we're going to be down the bottom of the mountain trying to figure out how we got there, because now you want to know what's in my DNA. You're going to want to know this, that, and the other. In New York, you see, we have people, waiters asking people their vaccination status. And by the way, do you know what else they require? A photo ID to determine if this vaccine card you're presenting is really you. Who are we fooling? Come on. Let's say you get the
vaccine. It's a little bit longer clip than I expected, Al. But I'll tell you, she hit a home run. She hit it on all parts, all accounts. She called Dana Bash out. Dana Bash actually said the CRT is not part of the Virginia education system. And Lieutenant Governor Sears called her out on it. That's not what I said. Yes, that is what you said. And so finally you have somebody who's articulate, who's measured, and they call out these people. And, you know, they want to get their talking points in, the left wing does, but as soon as you start quoting, you know, facts, and you start quoting people like bumbling Biden and what he said and what communist Kamala said, suddenly, we have to change the subject. Well, that's not what they said. They meant, this is not what they meant. No, it's what they said. They would not take the vaccine if it was developed by Donald Trump. And what happened? Now that they were put into office, now all of a sudden it's okay and it's mandatory now to take the vaccine. You've got bumbling Biden stating when he was candidate Biden that he was not going to force mandates on anyone to take the vaccine. And you know, now they're mandating it. You know, take the vaccine, man. Take the vaccine. I just love the fact that Lieutenant Governor Sears gave it right back to Dana Bash. Caught Dana Bash, you know, at least three times, you know, fabricating, lying, and misinformation. And I just really like this lady. She has really, I could see why the people of Virginia voted her in, or, you know, elected her, because she is sharp. She's not taking the left wing's garbage and jargon, and she's not playing by their talking points.
Yep. No, and she was great about, well, have you been vaccinated? Well, tell you about the vaccine. Well, the polio and the other vaccines, if you take it, you don't get it. But with this COVID vaccine, you do take it and you do get it. So what's the point?
Right. Exactly. You know, that's the other thing. That also goes to, I don't know. Her name is Jedediah Gly, I think. She used to be on Fox and Friends Weekend co-host, and she was on the NAG show, The View, and she was talking about, Jedediah was talking about having gotten COVID and has the antibodies, and she then Jedediah says, well, it, you know, it's you're not safe from getting the China virus vaccine, from not transmitting the China virus nor contracting it again. And they show Joey Behar, and she's shaking her head and laughing. And it's like, you know, you want to talk about the science of it? People who have gotten the China virus vaccine are contracting the China virus. They are spreading the China virus. 74% of the transmissions in Massachusetts are from people who have got the China virus therapy, gene therapy. They've gotten the vaccine. And that is a fact. And these liberals, they want to redefine everything to their nature, and they're so snarky, like that, you know, like that two-faced Joey Behar. How she's still on the air is unbelievable. How she's still on the air.
And plus, I like what she said. I mean, everything is racial these days, right?
Yeah.
She said, "Well, we've had a black president that was elected twice. And now me. What more do you need to see? This is great. This is liberty. This is a great country." And Bash did not know what to do, because she was not used to hearing such a positive message from a black person, a.k.a. a person of color. You know, I hate that. Person of color?
Yeah.
Well, what color?
Yeah, you know, and it goes to what Eric said in the chat room. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, wait a minute, a person of color. Just say it. It's a black person. It's not hard to say, to look at, you know, Lieutenant Governor Sears and say, oh my God, she's black. Or look at Governor Yonkel. He's white. I mean, okay, so what? Big deal. Why is everything have to be about color? Why do we have to divide America by color? Obviously, it's the Marxist movement mentality to divide this country by color. A person of color, Al. You know, a person of color. Oh, well, really, a first person of color. Oh, okay. Well,
yep. And you got it. You nailed it with the Marxists. If you are a Marxist or a communist, you do not like our constitutional republic. So the best way to chisel it down and break it down is that its components and have its people fighting against each other. They tried it with during the Vietnam War. That didn't quite work as they planned. And the environment, that worked pretty good but not great. So now we're on to race. Bingo, race is dividing America, and they latched on to something that's working. So they're dividing us by race. And this lieutenant governor, she just squashed it in one interview. It's too bad that nobody listens to that show.
I have no viewership.
That was a great interview.
Exactly. It was. And I'll tell you, I don't think she'll be back on the State of the Disunion with Dana Bash. I don't think so. I mean, she answered so many questions that she caught Dana Bash in two lies. And the biggest one, you know, again, Bash has got to get her own bashing in. And it was the one with I just want to say that critical race theory is not being taught in the Virginia education system. It's not part of the education. And it's like, and I'm so glad that Lieutenant Governor Sears came back and said, excuse me, but let me correct that. Yes, it is. It's very much an integral part of the Virginia education system. And again, you can't let these left-wingers, okay, get away with their snarky, misleading reports. You can't.
No, and she did it in such a non-threatening way. She didn't get agitated. She wasn't yelling. It was so matter-of-fact.
No.
It was like a country grandma talking to you. It was fantastic, great delivery, and very well articulated. I think this woman could be the first female president of the United States.
I'll tell you, Al, to listen to her, I was really impressed. I hadn't heard her, and of course, the one thing that the media did successfully during the campaign was they omitted the fact that she was the choice for lieutenant governor. And now I can see why, because they're threatened by this lady. They're threatened by this lady. And she's like you said, she's articulate, she's measured, she has her facts down, and she's just like Jennifer Carroll, matter of fact, who was lieutenant governor under Rick Scott, Governor Scott.
Wow. I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. And the thing that she's a Marine, that means that there's a drill sergeant somewhere inside of that nice voice. So I'm sure that side can come out, too, when needed.
Well, you know what? And look, this is Thanksgiving week, and I know there's people are on vacation, but this, talk about a drill sergeant. Okay, so Representative Lorena Boebert was on the House floor, and it says 1 minute and 12 seconds, and she calls out Swallow Well and with Sleeping with Fang Fang. She calls out the other buffoon up there, the Marxist Muslim. It's a minute and 12 seconds. This is really, listen to this.
Madam Speaker. Democrat policies are so pathetic and have done so poorly that the left has nothing else to do but troll the internet looking for ways to get offended and then try to target members and strip them of their committees. This is a dumb waste of the House's time. But since the Speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman incited further violence in the streets outside of a courthouse. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and three-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. Let me say that again. A member of Congress who received classified briefings was sleeping with the enemy. This is unacceptable, and this would never be...
Gentlemen, his time's expired. Gentlemen from Florida.
Feng Feng.
Feng Feng.
Now, with the enemy.
The jihad squad member paid her husband, not her brother husband, the other one. I'm thinking, and the cherry on top, who is on the intelligence committee, slept with the enemy, bang, bang. That was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, Boebert is like, she is really, she's a firecracker, man. I just love it.
It is good to see. Man, she would have balls. But no, it's great. All
right.
She did was tell the truth. She told the truth. The jihad squad.
Yes.
Fantastic. And then her marrying her brother, not her brother husband, but her husband. But she,
you know
what was weird?
She
didn't mention any names. She did not say
no.
By name. Wonder why that is.
No. Well, you know what? I thought that was pretty clever on her part. And you know, she didn't mention Swalwell. And, of course, we all know Swalwell did sleep with Fang Fang and a Chinese spy. And, again, there's no consequences for the Democrat Communist Party members for their illicit affairs, for their breaking of the law, as with a jihad squad member, defrauding the federal government by marrying her brother, defrauding the federal government with filing false campaign finance reports. And you know, there's no consequences. But then Nancy Pelosi has the audacity to go after, you know, members of Congress who are on the other side of the aisle. And suddenly there's sanctimony and they start quoting the Constitution and the rule of law. You know, the rule of law is nothing but a meaningless slogan to the left wing. It is absolutely a soundbite. It means absolutely nothing. It's there for the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news because they know the DNC news media will print that. They don't go after their own. There's no way, shape, or form that the jihad squad member should be on the Intelligence Committee. She shouldn't be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. She should be on the committee to clean up the restrooms at the U.S. Capitol. She doesn't deserve any committee assignments whatsoever that have any type of intelligence meaning or qualifications. There's no way she should be on the Foreign Affairs Committee when she defrauded the federal government. And she's also an anti-Semite and a hater. And there is no room for her to be on the Foreign Affairs Committee being an anti-Semite, a liar, and a fraud.
Well, for the Democrat, Socialist, Marxist Party, those are resume enhancers.
That's right. You're exactly right. Exactly right. They're resume enhancers. And Nancy Pelosi looks the other way and you know, starts furthering this radical anti-American agenda. And, you know, we all heard it, and I love the way, you know, the media kind of ate it up, including some of the right-wing media. Oh, you know, look what's happening, Pelosi is not going after the squad, and she's going after the squad. She's ignoring the squad. Bull. The squad was doing exactly what Nancy Pelosi wanted them to do, and there was no repercussions. There was no backlash. There was no penalty for what they did and what they said. They maintained their committee assignments. They maintained their house in the Senate and maintained their status in the Senate. I'm sorry. They maintain their status in the House. And frankly, if you're a Democrat, a member of the Democrat Communist Party, you basically have your carte blanche for what you can do.
Yep. They need to take these jihad squad off. They just need to get rid of them like Dan Mullen. Just let them go. Just get rid of them.
Oh, my God.
They won't, because they are the face of the Democrat Party. When you want to know what is the lifeblood of the Democrat Party, it's Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Presley, A.O. Cortez.
Yeah, Alexandria Cortez. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
You know, there's got to be consequences for their actions, but you know what? That just tells me the fact that there isn't, there is not. There's a committee to clean restrooms. Don't give them any ideas for more pork projects. Well, the Jihad Squad doesn't eat pork, but there's no consequences for their actions. So, hey, both. So now Congresswoman Boebert's on a roll. And, you know, as you know, that the House under Nancy Pelosi, the anti-American, anti-constitutional House led by Nancy Pelosi, passed a $1.7 trillion reckless spending bill. More fiscal irresponsibility by the left wing, by the Democrat Communist Party in America. So here is Representative Boebert going off on the $1.7 trillion and what it's being used for.
Gentleman from Kentucky reserves. The gentleman from Missouri is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm happy to yield 2 minutes from the gentle lady of Colorado. She is someone is a warrior, a fighter for conservatism, and apparently even the budget chairman is threatened by her. Happy to yield 2 minutes to Ms. Boebert.
The gentlewoman from Colorado is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you to my friend and the ranking member on the Budget Committee who has done an excellent job exposing these terrible schemes to the American people this Congress. Madam Speaker, America does not need and cannot afford this junk. America doesn't need 80,000 new IRS agents snooping in our private transactions. These are politically weaponized bureaucrat bullies that we are looking to hire more of. America cannot afford $1.5 trillion in new taxes while federal bureaucrats haul off and spend $4.1 billion on electric bicycles. Do they realize that this will use more fossil fuels, more petroleum products to create electric bicycles than a conventional bicycle? I don't think so, and I think they've lost their ever-loving minds. $7.8 billion for environmental justice going towards woke universities, $100 billion for amnesty workarounds as our southern border is completely invaded by nearly 2 million illegal aliens, many of them criminal aliens. There's $550 billion for Green New Deal policies and tax breaks so congressional members from the Bronx can afford a new Tesla. Biden's broke-back budget has another $330 billion to incentivize workers to stay home. Newsflash to the party of wealthy cities and wealthy elites. We have a worker shortage right now in America. We have an inflation crisis. This will only make things worse, much worse, not better. But let me guess. When things do get worse, as they inevitably will, we'll need to reelect y'all sorry selves so you can fix it, right? No thanks. I'll pass, and I urge my colleagues to vote no on this monstrosity of a spending bill. And I yield back.
Biden's broke back budget. I mean, how? I tell you, she is on fire. 80,000 IRS agents. Now, let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. 80,000 IRS agents. Do you know that this particular reckless spending bill increases the IRS budget by four times their annual budget? Four times their annual budget. So now that under the dictator Joe Biden regime and Nancy Pelosi's reckless spending spree, 80,000 new IRS agents would be hired. That means 80,000 new government employees funded by taxpayers. 80,000. think about that. Now, 80,000, they need office space. There's even more expense for the American taxpayer. The 80,000 need telephones of some sort, so now the taxpayers will be funding those. 80,000 will get some sort of benefit package, which means that the American taxpayers are going to pay more for that. So this isn't just about 80,000 new employees added, but now once their job is over, is their job ever over? So we've swelled the federal government by 80,000 employees. This is what progressives do best. They piss the American money away. They abrogate their fiscal responsibility. They are reckless spenders. I'm not saying that the Republicans are any better, but 80,000 more employees added just to the IRS? What kind of a dictator is occupying the White House that would seek to enforce this on the American people? So look into yours and my bank account. So look into our spending. First it was $600, and then it was met with backlash. Now it's $10,000, but it's $10,000 of transactions in 1 year. Can you imagine that? The IRS is going to monitor your spending habits, and if you do more than $10,000 in transactions in a year, it allows the IRS to start investigating you. Well, are they going to knock on your door in the middle of the night and knock it down like they did with James O'Keefe at Veritas to look for a diary from the president's daughter? Huh? What kind of a dictator is he? Oh, thank you, Chief. He's a senile one. This is totally un-American. It is totally anti-constitutional. And this man should be summarily put out to pasture. This is who the left wing installed and put in place of Donald J. Trump, who was pro-American and pro-America. And instead, we got some feckless old fraud who's implementing dictatorial and tyrannical policies to start investigating Americans in the United States of America. It wasn't bad enough when Barack Hussein Sator Obama sicked the IRS on a journalist by the name of James Rosen because he was with the evil Fox News. And Barack Hussein Sator Obama and bumbling Biden administration sicked the IRS on James Rosen and his family. And somehow there is no backlash and no outrage, especially when the First Amendment of the United States Constitution talks about freedom of the press. Who the hell do these people think they are? They are above the law. That's who they think they are. You're right, moving back to the brown shirts. Exactly. This is exactly Gestapo tactics. This is Hitler. These are fascists, and these are communists. Who the hell does bumbling Joe Biden think he is to dispatch the FBI to go after parents because they're exercising their right to freedom of speech, their right to redress the government for grievances, their right to peaceably assemble? These are anti-constitutionalists who are occupying the White House. The Democrat Communist Party is an anti-constitutional party. Now, 80,000 new IRS agents, Al, are put into this $1.7 trillion spending spree, this reckless spending spree by this out-of-control United States House of Representatives led by Nancy Pelosi. And Bobert is right to start calling them out. Nobody else seems to be doing so. Well, you know, we all know what's in the bill, and we have to be cognizant of the situation that needs that are at hand, and we must treat this in a very professional, man and statesman-like manner when we speak about the fiscally irresponsible nature of the House of Representatives. Bullshit, calling them out, because, you know, it was Nancy Pelosi who sought to undermine the president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States, and suddenly she has amnesia, and she's treating, the speckless fraud Joe Biden with kid gloves because he's doing everything they want to do, and then it's to dismantle our constitutional republic. 80,000 IRS agents?
And if you have transactions that amass in excess of $10,000 a year, the IRS is going to start investigating you? I mean, this
power.
That's power, right. It's intimidation. It's power.
Can be. It can be used as a wedge. It can be used as a spear against the American people. And you can use finance as a means of an intimidation to control the public. And if you have the IRS coming down on individual taxpayers, like you said, with a $10,000 threshold, if they look hard enough, there will always be something that they can get you on. Because have you taken a look at the tax code lately? For the last four decades, it's huge. Even tax experts, CPAs, don't even know and can keep up with all of the changes back and forth.
Right. What is it, like 86,000 pages? 86,000 pages or something?
Yeah, it's something outrageous. And if you want to control the people, control their behavior, you control the taxes and how they're paid. Because people need to use the tax code in order to save money on income, and if the tax code is written in a certain way that you want people to you want them to behave in a certain way, or not take deductions in a certain way, or take deductions in a certain way, you can use and alter the tax code to change the decisions that people will make, and then you can guide them into whatever way the government wants you to act in a certain situation in order to look out for your own best interests. That is what the tax code does and can be used as a tool to make people do what you want them to do.
It's certain that the tax code that's being enforced or proposed under this reckless congressional budget, this fiscal irresponsible spending is to go after Americans, to go after their purse strings, to go after their finances and intimidate them. You know, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Joe Biden got away with it when they went after James Rosen. And now it's, you know, and also, let's not forget, they went after the Tea Parties as well. They used the IRS as a weapon against the Tea Parties. And you know, where's the backlash? Because let's say now that the bumbling Biden and communist Kamala are replaced in 2024, and Republicans are elected, and now the Republicans go for broke. Nancy Pelosi's gone. You've got Republican representatives, and you have a Senate that's led by the Republicans. What if the Republican president and vice president decide to go after the left wing? Start investigating, you know, the Marxist BLM movement and the 17 houses that the four board members have, and go after Antifa and find out that George Soros is funding Antifa. And would the left go ballistic with stating that a Republican president has weaponized the IRS? Oh, I bet they would. Suddenly the media doesn't have amnesia.
Well, I guarantee you that some IRS bureaucrat, if they get the instruction, they get the phone call, hey, we've got, you need to go after so-and-so Republican candidate in Ohio. And then they start going after him. Now, and you're talking about chilling potential Republican candidates. You start attacking them with their finances. And I don't know if you've ever been through an audit. I haven't, thank God, but I hear it's a very time-consuming and all-encompassing exercise in crisis management. So I don't know about you, but you know how I avoid it? Normally, I take the standard deduction, and whatever I give to charities that I like, I just give them the money, and I don't try to write it off as I could, so I leave a lot on the table. But I do that because I fear getting audited because of the time factor. I don't want to hassle with it.
You know, it's funny. You that's a really good point. I had a friend of mine who owned a business, and he has since moved away. But he got audited, and apparently he owed they determined that he owed $45,000 in taxes, and so he disputed it, and his CPA was there, and you know, they went through, and they were going back and forth. And so now this is like a year and a 18 months now, okay, since it started. So they come up with this $45,000 figure, and of course, with interest and penalties, the first session starts out with, well, Mr. Smith, you now owe $71,640 in taxes, and it was $71,000 and change. And he looked at him, and he started laughing. He goes, how did you come up with that number? So they went through, and they're going through, and the CPA's got all these records, and it's like, there's no way. You know, you can't disallow this, you can't disallow that. Well, blah, blah, blah. So during the conversation, and long story short of it, my buddy reaches into his back pocket. He takes his keys out. He takes the key to the front door, the door, and the alarm, and he puts it on the table. And the IRS guy goes, well, what's this? He goes, these are the keys to my store. I'm going to call the employees when we're done, tell them to leave the store, lock it, and then you guys can open up the store tomorrow and run it. And the IRS goes, well, we don't want to do that. Well, I don't have $71,000 to pay you. I don't have $45,000 to pay you. And according to my CPA, if anything, we owe $3,200, which we're prepared to pay today. Well, wait, no, this is your store. And he got up and he walks out. And the IRS is going, wait, you can't, no, we don't want your store. Well, sure you do. I don't have any other means for it. And it was the funniest thing. You know what? He ended up writing a check for $3,600. And this is how, if he would have just folded at that point, you know, and agreed to pay the $71,000, but this is the kind of abuse of power that the IRS has.
But does the IRS agent get a commission on this?
Oh, right?
You would think.
Oh.
That's a shakedown.
Exactly.
There's illegal groups that will remain unnamed that do that for a living.
Oh, all right, we won't go there. I think we have a call on the line. He's been waiting patiently. You're going after the Italians. I know you are. That was a subtle way of doing it.
Prove it. I never said a word.
That's right. I think this guy likes Italians. But how you doing? Moving. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, hello, Paisano. Welcome to the show.
You know, what do you serve lasagna or turkey on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
No respect.
I'm glad you serve both, and that was beneficial.
There you go.
Because in my family, they serve several dishes, you know, and lasagna is always on the table. But hey, I want to say that I want to talk turkey tonight just briefly. You know, the president has, by tradition, you're supposed to pardon a turkey on Thanksgiving. So I wonder, you know, is the president going to pardon a turkey or is he going to pardon his son? I don't know.
I don't know. That Hunter art is very lucrative at $300,000 to $500,000 a pop per painting. I don't know. He's a cash cow.
Yeah, you know,
and a cash turkey.
the worldwide exchange of artworks and valuable objects is on the uptick, and that's a sign of nefarious activity, of course. Any time that, you know, someone pays $80 million for a painting, for a piece of canvas, you know that something snarky or whatever's going on.
I just can't wrap my hands around the fact that crackhead Hunter's paintings are worth more than Leroy Neiman's. I just can't bring it. I can't bring myself to.
Yeah, so I guess the IRS is going to show up at my door after this call.
Yeah, even a Chagall print, they're worth more. So maybe there's a little extra fringe benefit when you buy a Hunter Biden original for the 300 to 500K, whichever one you choose, is that you get an introduction to certain people. You get doors will open, kind of like money laundering, pay to play, buy a Hunter picture, and you get to play.
Oh, so if you're under an IRS audit, if you buy a Hunter Biden print, you get off the hook. Is that right?
There you go. You got it.
That's right, because you are
they'll finance it for you.
You support the arts, and it's very important in a Marxist society.
Yeah. So on a serious note, fellow comrades, I do want to see what happens with the Thanksgiving pardon, seriously, by the president, because we still have a lot of the patriots who are in prison without trial, the January 6th patriots, and, you know, I'm really concerned about that, and I encourage everyone who's concerned about that, if President Biden does not release them and the D.C. does not give them a trial by Thanksgiving, I encourage every American, and I'm totally serious about this, I encourage every American to drop off a turkey, a guinea hen, a duck, a goose, and leave it on the mall in D.C. and keep leaving them there and let them quack and quack until those poor guys are out of jail, those guys and gals out of those D.C. jails, because they're suffering right now.
And, you know, Morgan, really wouldn't you say that this is a violation of those people's Sixth Amendment right? In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law. So, you know, we're not saying that these people are guilty. However, the fact that their Sixth Amendment right to a fair and speedy trial has been abridged by this administration is abhorrent. It's absolutely a travesty that this anti-constitutional Biden-Harris administration is acting in this fashion. Now, I understand if there's a true insurrection that you would want people to pay for those crimes, but this is not an insurrection. And this was at best a riot. This was at best a breaching of the House, but you can't even say it was a breaching of the House of the U.S. Capitol, when in fact it was the Capitol Police who let the people in. So now we have a clear violation of the Sixth Amendment. We have a clear violation of the right of people to peaceably assemble, and it's being executed by this felonious and anti-constitutional administration.
Well, I guess it was Benjamin Franklin who proposed that the national bird be a turkey at one point instead of the bald eagle. And there's a reason for that, and it's starting to reveal itself. And like I said, if President Biden pardons a turkey, he can certainly have more compassion for legitimate people who have spent all these many, many months in prison without trial in our own country. And this is America, you know, America, right? All things American.
Right.
He has more compassion for a turkey than those folks in D.C. You can bet if you see a bunch of gobblers or guinea hens running around the mall here after January 1st, you'll know who put them there.
Well,
God bless you.
Listen,
thanks for taking my call.
Hey, our pleasure. Thank you for your service, and happy Thanksgiving, and be safe out there, okay?
All right. Bye-bye now.
Good call, Movin. Thank
Bye,
you.
Movin. Well, there's one thing that we can be certain of, and that is that bumbling Joe Biden does not have compassion. And people can say all they want to say, but Biden was put in there because he is absolutely emotionless. This guy has got nothing. And the fact that we still have Americans who are held without having a fair and speedy trial is a violation of the Sixth Amendment of the United States Constitution. And it's unconscionable what's being done. So we have an administration that has abridged the First Amendment, all five components, is seeking to abridge the Second Amendment, who has absolutely violated the Fourth Amendment, and now and clearly has violated the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is the Marxist movement. This is why you call them the Democrat Communist Party, because they have absolute total disregard for our U.S. Constitution. Compassion. Joe Biden can't even spell compassion, let alone say it, even with a teleprompter.
Especially when you consider that those people that are locked away are on trespassing charges, and that's it. That's all that they could get them for.
Yeah. This is really, you know, movement put in the backdoor brown shirts. You have the IRS. You know, the movement by this administration, including Nancy Pelosi in the House, to increase the authority of the IRS. You have bumbling Joe Biden appointing the OSHA to do, you know, anti-constitutional activity that was slapped down by the courts. And now you have the violation of these trespassers' Sixth Amendment right to a fair and speedy trial. And it's just it's incomprehensible what we're seeing occurring today. I mean, really, you know, this is all what we're seeing today all across America is like, it's incomprehensible. When you look at what's happening in San Francisco, the third straight day, you've got this lawlessness. You have these rioters going into Nordstrom's and breaking the windows of Louis Vuitton and stealing everything in sight, just stealing. You have these looters walking into retail establishments, and they're caught on camera. They're just helping themselves to clothing. This is not America. This is not what the rule of law is. And then you've got this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, sicking the FBI on parents who dare to challenge the education boards in their respective communities. And yet, in San Francisco, you have absolute lawlessness. In New York City, you have lawlessness. And the FBI is going after conservatives and parents for speaking their mind and challenging the education system. And yet, Terry McAuliffe's telling parents to sit down and shut up. You don't tell the government what to do. What the hell is going on here?
Well, when the local governments make laws that say that a business cannot – that. If someone comes in and shoplifts less than $900 worth of goods, then it's essentially the police won't come in, they won't charge them, they won't put them through the system, they just let them go.
Yeah,
so what
right.
to stop a criminal from coming in and doing what we saw at Nordstrom's with a 35 to 50 person organized smash and grab?
Yeah.
Of which three
right.
employees got injured. They went in. You probably don't hear this too much in the news, but they went in with pepper spray, bear pepper spray, and rods and metal rods and bats, and then they injured three people who were working there.
Yeah. And so where's the
nothing's
outrage?
Nothing's
going to
happen. Huh? Yeah. They arrested two. We still don't know what the disposition of that arrest is. My guess is the AG probably is not going to press charges and let them go, or some Marxist organization like Open Society came in and paid their bail, and then off they go. I'm speculating. I do not know that
right.
for a fact. But based on past experience,
yeah.
I would say it's a good possibility.
Oh, who runs Open Society, by the way? Who's financing Open Society?
George Soros. That's a He's got some really good books if you want to read about who he is and what his mindset is. He's got to go to their website. Very interesting.
Well, in other news, the court halted Tsar Biden's unconstitutional unilateral tyrannical edict. The Biden administration's enforcement of the COVID-19 vaccine requirements has been suspended by OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The mandate would require those working for businesses employing 100 or more people to get fully vaccinated or tested weekly by January 4, 2022. It was blocked by the Federal Appeals Court earlier this month, which ordered OSHA to not take steps to enforce the mandate and wait until further court order. The requirement is designed to curb the surge in corona cases, hospitalizations, and deaths caused by the virus, including the Delta variant. Huh. Huh. And you've got OSHA had no choice but to halt the oppressive and tyrannical edict. Dictator Joe Biden stated, "We're going to protect the unvaccinated workers from the unvaccinated coworkers." That's absolute garbage. That's absolute garbage.
Well, at the 11th hour, how many people have already had to, through their businesses, they've already been coerced into already getting the vaccine, whether they want it or not.
But that's exactly right. That's exactly, well, lost their jobs. How many have lost their jobs? You know, and if it was truly the case of protecting the vaccinated worker from the unvaccinated, if that was truly the case, then dictator Joe Biden and communist Kamala would have aggressively sought to secure America's borders and not allow more than 2 million unvaccinated, illegal, infected aliens to breach our U.S. borders. In addition, if dictator Joe Biden was really concerned about protecting the vaccinated from the unvaccinated, he and communist Kamala would not have been transporting illegal unvaccinated infected aliens in the dead of the night to cities and towns all across America with their Project Airlift. Biden is a destructive individual. He's not alone in his attempt to dismantle our constitutional republic, and he has violated his oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. So thank you to the U.S. courts for striking down this oppressive and unconstitutional edict. America deserves better. And however, it's clear there's a bloc in Washington, D.C. who now has other plans for the United States of America. And no, we don't use turkey meatloaf for lasagna. You use beef. You use good chopped meat for the lasagna. And you put a little bit of salami in there, too. No phony meat. Turkey meatloaf. Oh, it's almost like being a vegetarian. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you don't.
No.
Oh, you hurt me with your words.
Oh, do you need a safe room to go to? Do you want a safe room? No. You can go to, like, Pittsburgh State University up in Massachusetts. I was reading that, and then I saw the thing on Newsmax. They have a safe room for people up there now. They put safe rooms.
Safe
up.
Room.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of been out of the news. Yeah, all these safe rooms and all. Frankly, these assholes just need to learn how to fight and take care of themselves. I hate all this weakness. It's not good for our society.
No.
We're pulling yourself up by your bootstraps kind of a country. We were kicked out of every debtor prison in Europe and came here. I don't like this.
Well, you know, it's all part of that Marxist movement. And you know, it's been clear and evident what we saw this past weekend, you know, after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. You know, in a case you've been living in a cave since Friday, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on all charges in the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Rittenhouse was from Antioch, Illinois, and had gone to Kenosha with an AR-style semi-automatic rifle and a medical kit in what he said was an effort to protect property from damaging protests that broke out over the shooting of Jacob Black. And, you know, and again, with the media, though, it's about separatism. Jacob Blake is a black man, and he was shot by a white Kenosha police officer. So the media enjoys fanning the flames of racial divide, a black man shot by a white police officer. And, of course, the DNC media doesn't print a black man shot by a black police officer or a white man was shot by a white police officer. Now, we know this is true when Justine Damon in Minnesota was shot by a Muslim police officer in Minneapolis. The report was a policeman of color shot an unarmed white woman. Now, it's important for the Marxist movement in America to create a divide. What we didn't hear, Al, about Kyle Rittenhouse, which was omitted from that first paragraph, when they talked about how Kyle Rittenhouse had gone to Kenosha. He was from Antioch, Illinois, which is 16 miles away, with an automatic, with a semi-automatic rifle. Okay, then what he didn't hear was his grandparents owned a store in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I didn't know that. And it's taken 3 months now for this to come out, four months for this to come out. Never heard it during the trial. Maybe I missed something because, of course, I wasn't glued to the trial. But I thought it interesting. So you have the narrative from the left wing was always, why would he cross state lines? Why did he cross state lines? Where was he doing there? He had no business being there. Oh, it turns out that his grandparents owned a store. And the Kenosha, Wisconsin was under attack by the violent arm of the Democrat Communist Party. So isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that now, as time goes on, we start hearing the facts that are coming out?
Hmm. Well, I hope he sues the hell out of CNN, President, all the way up to President Biden for this.
Yes.
For this defamation of character. Even President Biden saying that he was a white supremacist. Bullshit.
Biden's such a buffoon. He's absolutely,
yep.
You know, Rittenhouse found not guilty in the shooting and killing of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Hubert, and an attempted intentional homicide for severely wounding Gage Grosskreutz, who pointed a weapon at Rittenhouse. I don't know who Richard McGinnis is, and an unknown male was the unanimous verdict, but the jury consisted of seven women and five men, and they deliberated for 25 hours. And the dictator fleecer-in-chief, Joe Biden, uttered pure garbage. This is what Biden read from his teleprompter. While the verdict in Kenosha will leave many Americans feeling angry and concerned, myself included, we must acknowledge that the jury has spoken, Biden said in a statement. I ran on a promise to bring Americans together because I believe that what unites us is far greater than what divides us. So what the teleprompter did, what his handlers did, is they put a slogan and a soundbite inside of his statement. So he divides America, you know, while the verdict in Kenosha will leave many Americans feeling angry and concerned about what? Okay, so bubbling Biden continues with his lies and his campaign of disinformation and misinformation. He spews his meaningless sound bites. I ran on a promise to bring Americans together, yet his words fan the flames of division and hate. Biden likes to use the phrase rule of law. Well, bubbling Biden confirms that the slogan rule of law is just that. It's an empty slogan and it's a meaningless sound bite because the rule of law meant that the accused, Kyle Rittenhouse, would be tried by a jury of his peers, which he was, and he'd be found guilty or not guilty, and he was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. So the justice system worked. Had the jury come back with a guilty verdict on all accounts, these same left-wing anti-constitutionalists would have spewed their meaningless slogans and sound bites, America is a country where the rule of law still governs this democracy, you know, all that. That rule of law, blah, 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 gobbledygook. Joe Biden is not a uniter. Joe Biden is a divider. He's an empty suit who reads a teleprompter. He's simply a fraud. And guess what? Kyle Rittenhouse's grandparents' business is in Kenosha. He was going to protect. That was the fact that was conveniently omitted by the DNC media. Other anti-constitutional race baiters weighed in with their comments, like the con men of CARE. Made it all about them. And, of course, they tried to victimize Muslims using blacks and Muslims in their desperate account of deception. The comment of CARE never miss an opportunity for exploitation, deceit, and deception in playing the race card. What if our legal system gave Muslims and people of color the same breaks Kyle Rittenhouse received? That is absolute bullshit. That is hogwash. That is just fanning the fire of hate and adding fuel to it. The con men of CARE are just simply that. They're anti-American and they're con artists. What if a legal system gave Muslims and people of color the same breaks? I mean, if a jury of your peers finds you not guilty based on the facts that are presenting to them, it doesn't matter what color you are. But you see, you have race baiters like the Comment of Care who are making a living perverting the system. The Democrat Communist Party, like the Comment of Care, don't deal with facts. They deal strictly with emotion, conning the American people. And this is what anti-Americans and anti-constitutionalists do. Another genius out there, Maria Shriver Schwarzenegger, she tweeted out the following. I'm trying to take a beat to digest the Rittenhouse verdict. My son just asked me, how is it possible that he didn't get charged for anything? How is that possible? I don't have an answer for him. The idea that someone could be out with a semi-automatic weapon, kill people, and walk is stunning. I look forward to hearing from the jury. This is a moment for them to explain how they came to their decision. So, Maria, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I'm trying to take a beat to digest the Rittenhouse verdict. This is a woman who's in the media. It's exactly what millions of Americans were asking themselves, what about your Uncle Ted, the Mary Jo Kopechne. Huh? Maria then goes on, my son just asked me, how is it possible that he didn't get charged for anything? How is that possible? I don't have an answer for him. Well, Maria, we have an answer for you. Okay? This is what any rational person would have told their child. They would have said, well, son, the authorities charged Kyle Rittenhouse with murder. Under the U.S. Constitution, a person is innocent until proven guilty. Kyle Rittenhouse was tried by a jury of his peers. What every accused is afforded is the right to a fair and speedy trial, unless, of course, it's January 6th arrest, with evidence being presented to either find that person guilty or innocent. Clearly, the facts of the case were evident to the jury and not based on circumstance or based on emotion. You must take that emotion out of it, son, just like Uncle Ted driving over a bridge in Massachusetts. You like journalism where we're supposed to deal in facts. The jury was presented evidence and facts of the case, and Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty. Now, son, should you ever be unfortunately charged with a crime, and you're put in front of a jury of your peers, you want to make sure that your defense mounts a case based on factual evidence, not emotion, not circumstantial, to find you not guilty. This is how the American justice system works. So forget all the emotional nonsense and the noise. Let's look at the facts. Now, this is a woman who's in the media, and you're telling me that she didn't have an answer for her son because liberals love to deal with emotion. They don't want to deal with facts. And we witnessed facts. We witnessed evidence with pictures, with actual video footage of the actions of those that were shot. Now, I find it incomprehensible that someone as intelligent, supposedly, as Maria Shriver would exploit this the way she does, being in the media. But it doesn't surprise me because that's exactly what liberals do. James Sciotto, today's verdict means there is no accountability for the person who murdered our son. It sends the unacceptable message that armed civilians can show up in any town, incite violence, and then use the danger they have created to justify shooting people, says the family of Anthony Hoover. That's not true. That is simply not true. They were not inciting. Kyle Rittenhouse was not inciting violence. And again, it's emotion. It's symbolism over substance with these people. And the fact is, if we want to know a little bit about Anthony Hoover's criminal record, disorderly conduct, domestic abuse repeater, Uber was charged in a felony in a second degree, recklessly endangering, charged, dismissed, but read in, use of a dangerous weapon, domestic abuse, strangulation and suffocation felony, guilty due to a guilty plea. Number three, false imprisonment felony, guilty due to a guilty plea, domestic abuse, use of a dangerous weapon, battery misdemeanor charge dismissed, but read in domestic abuse, use of a dangerous weapon. Number five, disorderly conduct misdemeanor. Do you know that Anthony Hoover was in jail 10 times? Two times in Kenosha County Jail, four times in Dodge Correctional Institute, which is a maximum security facility, four times. One time in Kettle Moraine Correctional Institution, a medium security, and two times in Racine Correctional Institution. This is no choir boy. Matter of fact, Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't there to incite violence. And the video footage clearly showed that he was being chased. He was being hunted by these left-wingers. He was being hunted and prowled by these people. He didn't go in there to shoot anybody intentionally. Yes, he was carrying a weapon. Guess what? The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution gives you that right to bear arms. It doesn't give you the right to loot businesses. It doesn't give you the right to burn businesses down. And if the police weren't going to do their job, then the people are going to enforce some sort of action. And if you attack an individual as they did Kyle Rittenhouse, he has a right to defend himself. Your son was no choir boy. Recklessly endangering. Guilty for strangulation and suffocation felony, false imprisonment. And then you got the other genius, Joseph Rosenbaum, who was also shot and killed in Kenosha. He had open case for misdemeanor bail jumping, open misdemeanor case for battery, domestic abuse, and disorderly conduct. But get this action. And, of course, you can't use this information at the trial. But in Pima County, Arizona, Joseph Rosenbaum is charged with 11 counts of child molestation. 11 counts. Inappropriate sexual activity with children, including anal rape, masturbation, oral sex, and showing minors pornography. The victims were five boys ranging from age 9 to 11 years old. Now, you want to talk about stealing someone's innocence? You want to talk about stealing a child's innocence? As Joseph Rosenbaum did? Now, I am sure that Kyle Rittenhouse didn't specifically seek out Joseph Rosenbaum, but if he was attacking Kyle the way the video shows, Kyle had a right to defend himself. And guess what? Kyle Rittenhouse was no 9-year-old boy. 11 counts of child molestation of Joseph Rosenbaum. And these left wingers want to excuse their actions. The bottom line is Rosenbaum was a registered sex offender who was out on bond for domestic abuse battery accusation and was caught on video acting aggressively earlier that night. Then you've got Marxist Jerry Nadler, who also weighed in with the rule of law slogan. You know, Nadler, little commie Nadler, said the heartbreaking verdict is a miscarriage of justice and sets a dangerous precedent which justifies federal review by the DOJ. Justice cannot tolerate armed persons crossing state lines looking for trouble while people engage in First Amendment protected protest. Okay, now you see, this is how the left wing perverts an issue. This is an absolute lie by Marxist Jerry Nadler. He is lying in this. Miscarriage of justice? Crossing state lines looking for trouble while people are engaged in their First Amendment protected protest? Does the First Amendment protected protest mean that you burn down buildings? Does it mean you get to overturn cars? Does it mean that you get to attack police officers? No. Peaceful protest is what we saw back in the 60s with Reverend Martin Luther King leading those marches through Selma, Alabama. That was peaceful protesting. Not burning down buildings. Not attacking people and individuals. Miscarriage of justice? Kyle Rittenhouse was put on trial and tried by a jury of his peers as the rule of law requires. Evidence was presented to convict or acquit, And in this case, the evidence, the facts, Jerry, the facts were clear enough for a jury of his peers to acquit on all charges. That is not a miscarriage of justice. Jerry Nadler is a liar. These are the type of people who are occupying the U.S. Capitol, are occupying the United States House of Representatives. Shame on Jerry Nadler for lying to the American people. This was not a miscarriage of justice. Kyle Rittenhouse was put on trial, and he was tried by a jury of his peers. And based on evidence, based on the facts that were presented to them, he was found not guilty. That is a guaranteed right to a speedy trial under the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is how the communists in Congress are perverting the system and want to rewrite the laws as they see it. It's sickening what we are witnessing from the communists in Congress, such as Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, and from the executive branch of government with dictator Joe Biden, communist Kamala, disrespecting the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law they profess to believe in. They are liars, they are separatists, they are racist, and frankly, they are anti-Americans, Al.
Without a question. Now, Andy Ngo, who reported, so what happened after the not guilty verdict? Well, after Kyle Rittenhouse, according to Andy Ngo, tweeted, after Rittenhouse was found not guilty, Antifa in Portland organized an attempt to break inside the Justice Center to burn it down. They attacked police and also smashed up a passing driver's vehicle and targeted nearby buildings and it was soon declared a riot. In New York, protesters blocked streets in Brooklyn while shouting anti-Rittenhouse chants. Black Lives Matter activists shut down the streets of Brooklyn, New York, in response to the Rittenhouse case, and they chanted, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, the racist cops have got to go," Leroy Johnson tweeted, along with a video of the scene. Well, I can tell you, I'm offended by these no good chants. How many times are we tired of hearing, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, they got to do better"? Be more interesting with your chants, you Antifa fucks. Now, but here's the other thing. They targeted a federal building, a Justice Center, to burn it down, a federal building, Antifa, BLM, and the LGBT and Hamas fighters. There were Hamas flags there, too, by the way.
Now, okay,
it was called a riot. Do they make mass arrests? No. Do they destroy federal property? Absolutely. This is who Antifa is. And you gave the rap sheet of the three random people that Kyle Rittenhouse was attacked by. What, child molester? They were all felons, and the felons were carrying weapons, which is against the law to begin with. Are they going to put them on trial? Right. Is Rosencrantz going to go on trial for being a felon who had a gun and attempted murder on Kyle Rittenhouse?
No.
I'd like to see that. I don't expect it. But if the law is blind, it should be. This prosecutor should be going after Rosencrantz next, if not already. But I've seen no indication that that's happened.
Well, the law is no longer blind with the left wing in control. With the woke Marxist movement that has infected this country, that has infected politics, they don't look at the rule of law and justice being blind. They look at it in their way and how they can redefine it, just like Jerry Nadler redefined it. How can you, in all honesty, send a tweet out saying the verdict is a miscarriage of justice? You know, if Kyle Rittenhouse was let off completely without a jury trial, even just let go that night and just go back to his hometown, Antioch, Illinois, and nothing happens to him, then I can understand the cries of miscarriage of justice, okay? But you got to get the facts. Now it turns out that this kid was defending himself, and video evidence proves that. One, who was the guy that had the skateboard, holding the skateboard by the wheels, and he was wailing it, and he actually hit Rittenhouse twice in the head. Now, I don't know about you, but those skateboards today, if you're holding up a 180-pound individual on those skateboards, they don't move very, they don't break very well. That means that it's a solid piece of wood and you're smacking somebody in the head. And so now you paralyze Kyle Rittenhouse. I guess it's okay. So you go to court and what happens? You're a piece of garbage as it is. Nothing really going to happen to you. You're accustomed to being in the court system because you're a chronic offender. I'm unbelievable what we're seeing today. There's only one side of the story, and it's the left wing side, and that's it. Don't bring a skateboard to a gunfight. You're exactly right, Chief. Don't bring it. Yeah, and it was Jerry Nadler who said that it was what was the term he used about the riots in Portland and Seattle in 2020? They were mostly peaceful protests, and it was blown out of proportion. What was happening there? In the meantime, they were burning down Seattle. They were burning down Portland. And Seattle was under siege for how many days? 45, 50 days. They breached a federal building. And so there was insurrectionists who had overtaken a federal building, and there's no outrage? Yeah. What kind of a grown man is carrying a skateboard around at that time of the night anyways? A 26-year-old man carrying a skateboard, Eric. 26 years old. So you're telling me that this guy didn't know right from wrong?
They all had criminal records.
That's exactly right, Al. They all had criminal records.
I'd love to know how many of the Antifa in general have criminal records. I would say probably a good majority. Because they're antisocial.
I would agree with you on that one. They're antisocial. And they're funded by an anti-American organization.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Now here's the double standard: the Christmas parade in Wisconsin.
Oh.
A black man, Daryl Brooks, drove his car through, killing 5 people, injuring close to 40, missing children by square inches, and put a lot of kids in the hospital. As a black, and yet I'm not hearing any racist. There's no temperature rising on the racist or the black separatist possibly of this Daryl Brooks. The fact that he's a black man, everything's getting tapped down. There's no racial element to this driving a SUV through a Christmas parade.
Yes. So an attack
on
freedom
rate
of religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was excused, Al. It was excused because he was said to be being chased in another town or another city. So therefore, it was they're trying to justify the speed in which he was going. He was traveling and he drove through a parade. And of course,
he drove
it was a person
of interest. Yeah,
he
drove through barricades to get to the parade. And he had a rap sheet a mile long.
And again, the media suppressed the whole thing. Where it was, if it was a white guy with KKK, they would have said white nationalist. They would have labeled the guy immediately. But you know what? When it's a person of color or it's a Muslim. There's crickets coming out.
I don't know. And then some judge let the guy out on a $1,000 bond after he used his vehicle in a previous attack 1 to 2 weeks earlier.
You know, I'm gonna read this. This is from our friend Holger. He wrote, this is a really good analogy of what we were seeing in Wisconsin and what occurred and the phoniness behind the whole outrage over President Trump. In 2017, the Right rally was held in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it became a lightning rod for the left's new talking point about white supremacy. The event would subsequently be used throughout the presidential campaign and elections to smear Trump and claim it proved that he supports his support for Nazism and white supremacy. At the Charlottesville event, there was one fatality as a woman was struck by a pickup truck and killed. The woman killed was not black. She was white, and she was killed by a white man driving the truck. So Sunday, a black man driving an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade of primarily white people in the conservative suburb of Milwaukee called Waukesha. The driver, a rapper living in Milwaukee, left five innocent people dead and 40 and over 40 injured. Instead of the media racing to judgment and calling the SUV attack an act of terrorism and racism against white people by black people, instead of calling the incident revenge for the Rittenhouse verdict, like the media raced to report the single death in Charlottesville as coordinated attack by white supremacy groups, this is how CNN reports Waukesha. The indications are the Waukesha suspect was fleeing another incident when he drove into the parade route, according to multiple law enforcement sources with primarily preliminary investigation findings. While early in the investigation, there is no known connection to international or domestic terrorism, and it does not appear to be connected to Kenosha verdict, the source said. So I say that there are a lot of facts needed. That's not my point here. Where the media's portrayal of the event as a black nationalist attacks on whites in America, where's the consistency with Charlottesville? Where is the immediate question from the media to Biden to condemn the actions of a black supremacy groups in Wisconsin? And I thought that was a really good analogy by Holdren to equate what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, to what happened in Charlottesville. The attempt by the left wing to attack and demean President Trump, Donald Trump, was quick, and we know by the proof of what happened with the DOJ, the FBI, the attacks on President Trump were early on in 2016, and then the opportunity arose in Charlottesville, Virginia, where Trump tried to play, the uniter. He doesn't want violence. He doesn't want violence of any sort. He doesn't want wars. But the left wing was quick to indict President Trump at any cost. And today we see what's happening in Wisconsin, in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And the media is finding ways to excuse what happened. They want to find ways to discount this because they don't want to use the term black nationalist, but they're quick to use the term white nationalist. They don't want to use the term black supremacist, but they want to use the term white supremacist. This is how disingenuous the left wing is in America. The Marxist movement is a cancer. The pollution of progressive politics has infected the United States of America. Waukesha. I like good with Indian names. This is the New Yorker with who had phonics early on.
you did okay with the Japanese lady golfers. Much better than I could do. I was impressed.
Thank you. I think you hit it though. I think the Charlottesville, Virginia analogy to what we saw. Five people are dead in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and 40 people are injured at a Christmas parade. And again, religious activities being attacked, conservatives being attacked. Certainly we're not 100% sure what happened until all the facts come out. But isn't it amazing how the media was really quick to suppress the identity of the driver when it didn't fit their narrative?
Well, yeah, it took about 12 hours for it to come out. After there were pictures, they caught the guy at the scene. They knew exactly who he was. But, yeah, if it was a white guy, it would have come out immediately as a white racist or KKK neo-Nazi. But the fact that the media held on to the news for 12 hours, it was easy to assume it was one of two things. It was either a black man or a jihadist attack. And it could have gone either way. In this case, it was a black rapper with a black felon who did it. And like you said, we'll know more as the facts come out. But watch the news. That's where the story is. And we pray for all for the five people that were killed and their families and the 40-plus people that were injured and then all the trauma that everyone there at a Christmas parade has now got to live with for the rest of their lives. We pray that they're able to manage this and recover quickly. But watch the news, the stories in the news and how they report it and the double standard, and let it make you angry and make you sick, because that is what's happening all around you, is that double standard, and it's sickening. It's evil.
Well, it is sickening, you know, and it's, you've got the exploitation by groups, you know, the Democrat Communist Party exploits this. The DNC media specifically omits who the drivers are for a period of time. Look what's happening in Europe. Now it's a man, okay, walked into a church and beheads a Catholic priest, a man, a French man does. That's, and then you find out, you know, it's Muhammad Akbar, you know, and yelling Allah Akbar. And this is, the media sanitizes this. And then you've got the Convent of Care. You know, they turned the Kenosha, Wisconsin. What if our legal system gave Muslims and people of color the same breaks Kyle Rittenhouse received? Well, I think that the person of color, that police, the Minnesota police officer who killed a white woman, got a better break than the other police officer in Minnesota. I mean, this is unbelievable to victimize, to make things out to be a victim. And you know, I'm sorry, but Rittenhouse's right to a Sixth Amendment right to a fair and speedy trial was afforded to him, and he was tried by a jury of his peers. And this is what makes the left wing's whining so unreasonable, and it makes it fraudulent. And it's the same talking point. Don't you see it? You know it's the same talking point, whether it's Jerry Nadler or it's the Convent of Care or it's bumbling Biden or Nancy Pelosi. It's all the same talking points. It's all the same now, you know. What if they were afforded and a person of color? And, you know, it's a con. And the Marxist movement needs to be slapped down in America, and it needs to be done with force.
Now, where I place the blame, I place the blame on the politicians that instructed the police to stand down and maintain a line three blocks from where all of the chaotic activity was happening and all the illegal arson and robbery and destruction of property and shootings were taking place. The police were nowhere to be found because they were instructed to stand down. I want to know the politician who instructed them to do that is either the mayor or the governor. Because Kyle Rittenhouse and his friends would not have had to be there if the police were doing their job and maintaining safety in that area, which is their job, to protect and mm-hmm. serve. Well, in this case, they didn't protect and they didn't serve, but I don't blame the cops for it so much as that they were ordered to stand down. I want to know
right.
who gave that order. And when the cops stand down, there's nobody there, and there's rioting and looting and destruction of personal property, the people who have to take action into their own hands, they have to protect their property because nobody else is going to do it, and that's where Rittenhouse fell in. And I blame the cops for him even having to be there. No 17-year-old should have to deal with that, but he did. And he was there with a fire mm-hmm. extinguisher putting out dumpsters that they were trying to light on fire and run into gas pumps to blow up the gas station.
Yeah. I mean, that's not peaceful protesting in any way, shape, or form.
It's rioting.
That is,
and then
it's violence. Yes.
Hmm.
That's incredible, Al. It's absolutely incredible.
But we've seen it over and over and over. For the last 2 years, we've seen it. Even longer than that. And so these are Marxists that are in control of the Democrat Party. They control mm-hmm. them. They tell them when to act, when to fight, when not to fight, when to create civil unrest, period. How else do you explain all during the Trump administration, Antifa and BLM had ungodly activity, constant activity, and then all of a sudden President Biden gets elected and doesn't stop on a dime, but it sure as hell stops within a month. All of a sudden, you don't hear about any of these riots. Everything's nice and quiet. Ah, quiet again. People can breathe because Joe Biden's back in office. Then you scratch your head and go, how the hell did that happen? Why did this just stop on a dime? My deduction tells me they're Marxist operatives, period. They're getting their orders from the Democrat Marxists. How else could you go to any other conclusion? And if you have another conclusion, please tell me. Show me where I'm wrong. Nobody's been able to do it.
Well, of course not. Of course not. This was all engineered by the left.
Mm-hmm.
And it started, as Holger stated, it started in Charlottesville, Virginia. That was the perfect
mm-hmm.
opportunity to start this race war, this race separatism. You know, whether it's the Cloward Piven, whether it's the Karl Marx movement, or it's Prairie Fire, it's
mm-hmm.
being regurgitated now, and it's being implemented the left wing by the Democrat Communist Party to create this chaos and civil unrest that we're seeing all across America in these big left-wing cities. Now, this Christmas parade attack, Holger informed that this city that it happened in, I want to try to pronounce it properly now, this city in the city of Waukesha is a conservative city. And isn't it ironic that there's no mention of the fact that it's a conservative part or suburb of Milwaukee? And they were celebrating Christmas, virtue of a Christmas parade. Now, what about the rest of the country? Is this something now that cities and towns across America now have to be even more vigilant in conducting their Christmas parades because of these lunatics who decide they're going to take the law in their own hand because you have the White House fanning the fire of hate? You've got the Comment of Care fueling the fire of hate. You've got the Democrat Communist Party throwing gas on the division and racism in order to divide
mm-hmm.
America?
Well, all I know is there are going to be Christmas parades all throughout America, all cities big and small, and I can guarantee you that now that these people that are putting these wonderful parades on for family-friendly, nothing but good and happy times are going to have added security, serious barricades. Are going to have to protect their perimeter because of attack, and it's just going to be an added expense for these people trying to do good, all because of these Marxists.
Exactly. Wasn't it Bloomberg in New York City? I think they brought in dump trucks that were full of sand, and they were putting them at the intersections to block to make sure no one would ram through barriers. I mean, this is insane. You know, the lawlessness that the left wing has signed on as endorsed is clearly un-American. And what we're seeing today is not the America that we grew up in. There is no rule of law. The left wing wants to basically dismantle our constitutional republic, and certainly they're not enforcing any laws at the border, and then they're blaming, you know, unvaccinated Americans for being the cause of the rise and the spike, when it, in fact they want all Americans to be chimpanzees and subservient to the federal government. Big raspberry to the left wing.
Well said.
Down to like the last 5 minutes, and I guess all this opining, you know, it's the Thanksgiving season. Thanksgiving is this Thursday. We would like to wish all of our listeners and our followers a safe and happy Thanksgiving, a blessed Thanksgiving. And certainly we hope that you spend the time with your families and enjoy the time you have with your families. And I'm sorry, you know, I am not listening to Biden nor Anthony Fauci. Our family is going to get together this year for a Thanksgiving and for a blessed Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones with Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, Thanksgiving. Paula, I don't know if you're going to have a show on I hope you are, if you're not, you know, or replay, but the Sunlifer reports on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And Paul is the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Andrew Harrod's on Friday with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Osama Dakdak and the Beautiful Christie reveal the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the Real Interfaith Dialogue. The Cross and the Crescent gives you the Real Interfaith Dialogue. If you want to learn about Islam, you want to learn about Christianity, I encourage you to listen to Eric's show on Sunday. Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio, G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio. And keep G-Ski in your prayers, please. And G-Ski, we wish you a blessed Thanksgiving. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, her wonderful sidekick, Curtis Bennett, Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Keep Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Audrey Russo, Thursdays of Real Talk, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com, listen to Audrey's show. And Wednesdays, if you want a break from politics and religion, go to Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Joshua talks personal health and fitness, and it's a good show. It's a great break from all the talk of politics and jihad. You want to get a little bit of self-help and learn how to live longer. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Feel bad for Dan Mullen of the University of Florida, but I'm sure he'll have a quiet Thanksgiving and he'll get to eat some turkey this year. Chief of New Mexico, please keep Sue in your prayers, please. And it's always nice to see Sue. Al, any parting?
Adios, Sean. Amigos. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Hey, big, moving, don't eat too much turkey and lasagna, huh? We're not going to have lasagna this year for Thanksgiving. We're just going to have turkey. But with all the trimmings, so all that turkey, you sit down and have dinner and then fall asleep. So... All right. Good night, everybody. Have a great evening. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Safe Thanksgiving. God bless. Bye.
If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record
It was
dog won't shut the hell up.
Well, feed the damn thing, will you? Pay some attention to me, Pop.
I tell you, that 2 hours went very quickly.
It did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I looked up, there was 29 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, it was 7 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some transformational change happening, and it's not for the better.
No. But, hey, wasn't that was the idea when Obama uttered the words, fundamentally changing America, it's exactly what they wanted to have done. They wanted to fundamentally change America, and they're fundamentally changing it to the Marxist movement. And hey, who was it that launched Barack Hussein Sotoro's career? I mean, it was two domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, the authors of Prairie Fire. I mean, are we surprised that this anti-American, this anti-constitutionalist Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama would utter the words fundamentally transform America? There's no reason to fundamentally transform America. There is none. And then Donald Trump comes along, and he starts putting back American values and American systems, and he's summarily rejected by the anti-constitutionalists, the communists in Congress, like Nasty Pelosi, who sought to undo this presidency from day one. Please.
Yeah, not good.
No. No. And you know, Lubin said something, and when he said something about compassion, it struck a chord. Joe Biden has zero compassion. And that's one of the reasons why I think he was installed, because he is myopic. He's frankly, he's dumb, and he does exactly what he's told to do. And he even says it. I'm told not to call on you. I'm told I'm not going to take any. I mean, this guy's brain dead. But that's the perfect chimpanzee they wanted, who can read from a teleprompter. Sometimes the big man on campus decides to go off script, and it drives the handlers nuts. But they wanted somebody who was emotionless and had no compassion. And he is, that's two of his attributes, emotionless and no compassion. And that's what makes him a great liar. He's a chronic liar. And it's just, it's sickening what we're seeing today.
Well, he's just getting warmed up. He's got three more years
yes,
of this
he is.
Clown.
Well, unless, of course, you take out the Democrat Party and you replace them come, you know, January 1st or the next, you know, the 2022 elections. But you know what? That's a long way away, and the Democrat Communist Party has perfected cheating. You know, and we got to show – you have to show a driver's license, as Lieutenant Governor Sears said, show a driver's license in New York just to prove who you are when you show your, you know, your ID card. But you don't have to show a driver's license when you –
vote.
When you vote?
Yeah. CID with your vaccine card.
Yeah.
Oh, come right in and vote.
Yeah.
No
See,
ID required.
You come down here. You sit down and you. We want to see your ID card. Please, we want to see what you got. Please. Is this you? Please. We want to see if this you. Give me a break. God, my. Well, you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Have a safe one.
You and the clan do the same, and enjoy the day, and we'll be back here Monday.
Yes.
God willing, and the
quick
don't rise.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to Sue. You're in the thoughts and prayers, and we'll say a prayer for you on Thanksgiving, Sue.
Yeah.
All right, Al. Have a good one. Enjoy your dinner and go turducken. That's what we're gonna. Our turducken. My wife was she won't go for it. Hey, time to get a turducken. She won't do it.
You crazy? We're gonna have meatballs instead. You keep talking like that.
That's right. Oh man, I forgot to tell you, I made a batch of meatballs. Oh my God, Mono, they were good.
Oh.
I even whipped up some sauce on Saturday. Oh man.
That's a pre-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas batch of meatballs.
Oh, man, Mrs. Vito said, what are you making meatballs now for? You going to make them next? I said, because I feel like they ain't making meatballs.
Yeah, just warming up, huh?
Ask her what she had the last 2 days, okay? What she had for dinner tonight. She had meatballs.
How many meatballs? How many meat the balls did you make?
I made, let's see, two trays of, let's see, there were 53 per tray.
Ooh.
30,
over a,
seven times.
Over 100.
No, there was just under 100. There was, the one tray was bigger. So that one had, one of them had seven. There was 35 on one tray, and there was 49 on another tray.
So we're talking 5 pounds of sauce.
5 pounds of meat, 2 pounds of pork, and then all the other ingredients. Yeah, it was good. Oh,
lots of garlic, lots of onions.
Some
sage.
Oh, man, I was chopping up the... My wife chopped up the garlic. Here you go. I said, that's not enough garlic. Every time you put it in, I get agita. It's like, give me two more cloves.
What, she didn't cut them thin enough? Shouldn't she know by now?
No, she didn't cut enough. I ended up taking up two more cloves and cutting them up, and she was like, God. And then she goes, oh, this is delicious.
Well, you got to have the garlic. Garlic is key.
Oh, it is. Oh, oregano, basil. So I thank my sister for that recipe because it turned out great.
Mm. Well, enjoy your feast.
All right, you too. Have a good one.
All right.
Be safe out there, right?
You too. Hit them straight.
All right. Mm. Yeah, you too.
May the meatballs not fall on your plate. Fall off your plate.
Fall off your plate. There you go. All right.
Ciao. All right.
That's all, folks.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Music Boss.